Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Andrew Johnson of National Review. And for Jim Garrity today, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives, all of them related to the midterm elections, which are now just 5 days away. We've got some good news. Just yesterday, Andrew and I were talking about how in the new Harvard Institute of Politics poll that millennials are badly souring on the Democratic Party and President Obama, and it looks as though, when you factor in intensity, that they actually prefer Republicans in this midterm election season. Today, national poll conducted by the Washington Post, now we're talking about Latinos. 50% say it doesn't matter to them who wins the Senate come November, and among those who do think it will matter, twice as many say it will be a good thing, 30%, if the GOP took over, as say it would be a bad thing, 15%. And Andrew, the Post says, this is a demographic, we will remind you, that voted 71-27% for President Obama just 2 years ago, and only 15% are concerned about a GOP-controlled Senate. Talk about your building blocks for the Democrats going down in flames.
Yeah, I mean, it's just another example of the Obama coalition losing interest, not being engaged. A big part of them has been, like you said, millennials and Hispanics. And this cycle, it's not even just so much that they're disengaged, like we talked about yesterday, but that they are at least somewhat warmer to Republicans than they were just 2 years ago. Now, again, Republicans shouldn't run with this and say, we're winning millennials, we're winning Hispanics. But it's good news in the sense, again, like you said, the building blocks of the Democrats over the past 6 years, if not even longer, have gradually been losing interest and at least open to hearing what the GOP message is. And so for Democrats, it's just another warning sign of Tuesday could be an ugly one. And there has been some promising signs for Republicans this cycle when it comes to Hispanics. In Colorado, actually, Cory Gardner has fared pretty well, and it's paying some dividends, as we're seeing that Gardner is looking like he's actually going to pull it off against an incumbent Democratic senator that won in 2008, you know, riding the Obama coalition. So perhaps it's a sign of things to come. Either way, Republicans have to be happy with it.
All right, Andrew, as we mentioned, obviously it could be a very difficult night for Democrats on Tuesday. We'll obviously find out on Tuesday just how difficult it is for them. But that doesn't mean they're giving up, certainly. We talked about yesterday how they're getting increasingly desperate in their ads. We know that Cory Gardner, of course, according to NARAL, is planning to ban birth control and change the weather and make sure kids don't go to college. So, you know, they've got that message out there, which isn't true, but it's what they do when they're losing races in the last few days of the election. And then there's also this. This is courtesy of Watchdog.org. An election watch group is suing the state of Maryland over the alleged presence of non-citizens on the state's voting rolls. The lawsuit filed Friday in U.S. District Court in Baltimore asserts that individuals who opted out of jury duty because they claimed they were not legal U.S. residents have cast ballots in at least three Maryland elections. Based on the number of potential unqualified voters identified in Frederick County, up to 7% of Maryland's registered voters could be illegal immigrants, according to the estimates, and they believe at least hundreds have taken part in this. We're also hearing about this, Andrew, at the same time that La Raza is making copies of the Washington Post guide of where you don't need to show ID to vote and making sure it gets to as many people as possible.
Yeah, this has to be an alarming sign for people looking for voter integrity. Both these are signs that sort of give people that are proponents of voter ID laws reason to be concerned. I mean, the fact that La Raza is proudly and actively trying to let people know where you don't need voter IDs, it raises some questions. I mean, we do understand they want voters to be informed. If your state doesn't require that and you are registered to vote and you are a legal citizen, then yes, by all means, you should know where you should be voting. But I guess sort of the enthusiasm in letting people know that can be a bit worrying for people looking for voter integrity. And in Maryland, I mean, the fact that this county might have up to 7% of registered voters be illegal immigrants, that's 10%. That's 1 in 10 voters. It's a reason to be concerned. It's always hard to track where these will have an impact, where these will matter, if these will actually swing races one way or the other. But on the principle of voter integrity alone, it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, certainly troubling to say the least. All right, on to the crazy martini now. And there was some very good news out of Wisconsin from the Marquette University poll yesterday. It showed that while Scott Walker was ahead of Mary Burke in the governor's race by 1 point among registered voters, he's now up 7 among likely voters, 50-43. So that race is definitely trending in Walker's favor. That's not the crazy martini, though. The crazy martini is that it's possible that Mary Burke was actually fired from a previous job by her own family. This is from the Journal Sentinel. In Milwaukee, two former high-level executives of Trek Bicycle claim that Democratic gubernatorial candidate Mary Burke was forced out as head of European operations for her family's business 21 years ago, an allegation that Burke and the company denied, labeling it a last-minute smear campaign. "I'm not saying she was incompetent," said Tom Albers, former Trek chief operating officer who left the company in 1997. "Maybe this job was too big for her." And so Burke and those who are still left at the company are saying that's not really what happened and it's a political smear. And, of course, the title from the Milwaukee paper says, "Ex-Trek execs with conservative ties say Mary Burke was forced out." So they're probably buying in a little bit to the idea that this is all political. But still, we already had the outsourcing controversy with this company when Mary Burke was there. Now we've got allegation, at least, Andrew, that she was forced out because she wasn't very good at it.
Yeah, this may be one of the only Democratic candidate that isn't running on her family ties, as it turns out. You know, between Pryor and Landrieu and Begich, you know, they're proudly proclaiming their family name. This one, her family's actually causing a little stir for her. It's funny because this campaign has been based a lot on, at least Burke has been running on, her private sector experience and her experience of creating jobs, which isn't something we see Democrats do too often. But there have been a couple hiccups with her time with the family business. This bike company, like you said, the outsourcing, this coming out is definitely going to pique voters' interest, maybe a few that were still on the fence, although this poll shows that maybe even if there are a few on the fence, Walker seems to have a sizable lead as it is. But family business would be just like any other business at times. And if she wasn't faring all that well and she only had a few year stint at her family company, it's definitely something to raise a flag on. And you just have to also ask, if it is true, why wasn't the Journal Sentinel and why weren't all these other newspapers and organizations looking into her tenure with the company up until now?
Well, probably because they were investigating the ridiculous allegations of collusion between Scott Walker and these outside groups from the 2010 campaign. The lid finally got blown off of that when the political ties of the legal team were exposed here a few weeks ago. But I think for some reason, Andrew, I can't put my finger on it, they were more interested in that story.
Yeah, well, maybe they're just not bike enthusiasts.
I'm sure that's what it is. And especially in a campaign where her biggest complaint is that Scott Walker hasn't created as many jobs as he promised. When you couldn't run your own bicycle company, that might not help your argument too much. But
yeah, I mean, and also, and, you know, she was, I believe, something like the Secretary of Commerce or whatever that equivalent is in the previous Democratic administration in Wisconsin that, you know, is what basically Walker was running against when he said he'd create all these jobs as well. So again, one of the things she's been touting this entire campaign trail is her business acumen or private sector experience. And thus far, it hasn't shielded too many results, and this close to election day, Walker looks like he's going to be all right. He'll still be a nail biter, I expect, but he might hang on.
We certainly will be following that race, as well as dozens and dozens of others, both at the governor's level, Senate, of course, and U.S. House, and even other races around the country. Andrew, so great having you with us the last couple days. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Take it easy.
Andrew Johnson in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim will be back on Friday. Join us then for the next 3 Martini Lunch.